Before we call upon Brother Leslie, just a few announcements here. Please sign the cards at the back table. There are new cards being added to the table if you hadn't had a chance to sign them lately. So get to sign the new cards. Don't forget to order your pictures from Brother David in the back table. That's the convention picture. And place your orders for tapes of the convention, if you so desire, at the back table as well. And for all COs, don't forget to sign the sheets also on the back table. This time, Brother Jerry is going to serve us. And those of you who are wives will realize how important they were in the Scriptures, because his subject is wives and covenant. Wives and covenant. Brother Jerry.
We have a handout that goes with our lesson this afternoon, so it might be helpful if, as we progress, that you refer to this. Before we begin, we would like to remind the brethren that in Portland we have a convention in September. I realize that's right in the middle of your harvest time. However, if any of you can make it our way, we'd be delighted to have you. It's on September 12th, 13th, and 14th, and there are a few programs on the back table. We call it a study convention because we have at least each year a couple and sometimes three intensive studies on subjects of interest. This year we have chosen the subjects of the Jubilees and another one on the Ancient Worthies, as well as a number of discourses. So if any of you can come in September, please do. You'll be more than welcome. Wives and covenants. It is apparent from Scripture and from history that God's dealings with the human family is framed in covenants. These began with an agreement with Adam to continue until the new covenant of God's law is written in human hearts. Covenants have spanned the whole frame of human history. Bible students focus especially on the Abrahamic covenant because of its comprehensive character. It encompasses three subordinate covenants to accomplish its promise to bless all the families of the earth. The biblical testimony and historical evidences are clear. We are just going to quickly summarize those things that we believe that you are familiar with, but as a refresher. In fact, they are outlined on the back of the diagram that we have handed out. So there are a number of scripture texts there that we will not take time to read. They are there for your reference. But they are important statements to understand the scope of this covenant process. First, the law and grace covenants were the first two covenant parts of the original Abrahamic covenant and develop their fruits in two successive ages. Second, Jesus was born under the law and fulfilled it. The grace and star seed could have come from Israel, but they having come short of it, God turned to the Gentiles. Fourth, both the natural and spiritual house contained true and natural and nominal seeds. The fifth point, the natural seed awaits for the spiritual for their blessing. Sixth, the grace covenant will cease with the birth of the little flock. The great company will be delivered only after the gospel age door to the high calling is closed. And seventh, the last point we'd wish to make is that the nation of Israel is regathered before the completion of the church, but will not recognize Messiah and be converted till after then the new covenant will begin. Well, this is a very quick refresher of some key points on the covenants. All these things are abundantly testified to in Scripture, and we personally have no reason to question nor to doubt them. We think that the list of Scriptures here are a strong testimony along these lines. But God, like a masterful artist, has his plans and purposes echoed and re-echoed at many levels. And as we look at greater and greater detail into his plans, we find these clearly stated facts echoed in the details and pictures of his plan. And it is a confirmation to our hearts and minds and the verity of them. And that's what we'd like to look at this afternoon. Some covenant aspects are additionally confirmed by allegory, as in Galatians, the 4th chapter. There, Paul tells us that Abraham represents the original covenant. His wife, Sarah, the grace covenant. Hagar, the law covenant. Isaac represents the Christian seed of promise. And Ishmael, the Jewish bondage under the law. Brother Russell also expanded the thought that Keturah could well represent the new covenant and her children, mankind, under that new covenant. A very logical extension. Now, Brother Russell also suggests other pictures in the wives and children of Jacob. In reprint page number 184, an article called Rachel, A Type of Zion, we'd like to make just a couple of extracts to get the flavor and direction and to establish a premise and to fill in the details. He says, Rachel seems to be a type of the gospel church in many particulars, and her sister Leah would correspondingly represent the fleshly Israel. Jacob served 7 years for each of these, which might be understood as typifying the equality of the two ages, Jewish and gospel. Dropping down a little in the article, but our chief interest centers in Rachel. Her firstborn was Joseph, who seems to be a type of the Christ. And a little further in the article, her second child, in the travail of whose birth she died, was Benjamin, who we believe typifies the great company. A little later, trying to find the beginning of the sentence, these long sentences, but distinction made between Benjamin and the other brethren is shown in Joseph's blessing him with 5 times as much as they received. This is the incident in Egypt, which shows the greater blessing of the spiritual brethren typified by Benjamin over that of the natural brethren, fleshly Israel, typified by the sons of Leah. Another article in which he takes this up is on reprint 4436, the dual feature in Rachel. Just some quick extracts. Joseph, the life giver of Egypt, through that bread of life, was unquestionably a type of the great life giver, the Christ head and body. Our thought is that those 10 half-brothers represent the Jewish people who will very shortly be brought before the exalted Christ and be given a share in the great feast which will come to them from his table. Benjamin, to our understanding, represents the great company, the foolish virgins. And passing on to a third article on reprint 5231, Benjamin's portion fivefold. Rachel, the mother of Joseph and Benjamin, typified the special covenant, the covenant of sacrifice. Joseph clearly typifies the Messiah and his kingly power and glory. The blessings distributed to his brethren represent favors that Messiah will bestow upon natural Israel, his brethren according to the flesh. Perhaps that's enough to give us a flavor of the direction that Brother Russell was pursuing in not only in Abraham, but in Jacob and his wives and children. In these articles, we noticed a few differences in perspective and emphasis, but we would recommend reading them in their entirety because they were very, very interesting. But this is about as far as Brother Russell took that picture. Our interest has been raised as to other particulars of the Jacob account. As we would proceed, we would suggest some lines of harmony and confirmation of the earlier statements we made about the covenants. We would say with Brother Russell on page 4437, he says, "We are loath to give any explanation of types not directly referred to in the New Testament. These types seem to us to be not directly, but indirectly implied in the New Testament teachings already referred to." Let us first consider the account in Genesis chapters 28 through 35. This is going to be a brief overview, and we'll not read each text. But you will recall the account, and as we cite verses, you might, with your mind's eye, just follow the accounts down through Genesis 28 through the 35th chapter. Genesis 28:2. First of all, the sequence of events. Let's just quickly go over the sequence of events, and then we'll go over some of the details. This is the account where Jacob left Canaan to go to Mesopotamia. He found Rachel. He served Laban 7 years for her. He received Leah instead. He served 1 week additional and then received Rachel and was required to serve an additional 6 years. Joseph's birth occurred after that. They return to Canaan. Benjamin is born. And that is the sequence we'd like to cover. Let's pick it up from the scriptural account. Genesis 28:2. Jacob left Canaan to Mesopotamia to seek a wife of Abraham's kindred. Chapter 29, 10 and 11. Upon seeing Rachel, Jacob asks Laban, his uncle Laban, for her hand in marriage. The 18th verse, he agrees to serve Laban for 7 years for Rachel's hand in marriage. Verses 20 and 21. He asks for her. In the 23rd verse, Laban substitutes the older daughter Leah for Rachel on that wedding night. In the morning, Laban explains the custom of the elder daughter being given first and agrees to give Rachel also in 1 week if Jacob would serve another 7 years. This is in Genesis 28, verse 26 and 27. And Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 years other years." And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. Verse 31. Leah was esteemed less, but Rachel was barren. Chapter 29, 32 through chapter 30, verse 24, is the account of the children. In chapter 30, verse 25, Jacob expresses a desire to return to his homeland in Canaan, his inheritance. Chapter 30, verse 27, Laban is persuaded to stay on because he has been blessed by Jacob's presence. We learn in chapter 31, verse 41, that this was for another 6 years, even beyond all of this. Chapter 31, 18, Jacob maneuvered to take a sizable portion of Laban's cattle with him. Verse 19, Rachel secretly takes Laban's idols, and they start on their journey. Chapter 31, verses 25 to 35. Laban overtakes them, but cannot find the idols. In the 52nd verse, they build an altar on Gilead and vow not to pass over to each other again. This is after the wrestling of Jacob with the angel at Jabbok and the meeting of Esau. In chapter 34, verse 2, the only daughter born to Jacob, Dinah, is defiled by a Gentile, there is a tentative agreement by Jacob and the sons and his sons for intermarriage and commerce. In chapter 34, verse 15, we find that the agreement was conditional upon the Gentiles converting to the Hebrew customs. In the 25th verse, Simeon and Levi are stirred with indignation to slay the Gentile family and the whole city. For this, Jacob reprimanded his sons. Chapter 35, verse 18 and 19. Finally, Benjamin is born to Rachel, and she dies in childbirth while in the promised land. So this is a very quick sequence of events in the life of Jacob, his wives and his children. In the Abrahamic promise, in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This promise was passed on to his son Isaac. Isaac passed it on to his son Jacob. The promise fell to Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, with the particular seed line coming down through Judah, in which Jesus was the seed of promise. So in Jacob is a very important stage in the sequence of this promise. Let Jacob represent the embodiment of the Abrahamic promise at this time in his history. As Brother Russell has already suggested, let Rachel represent the grace covenant, and let Leah represent the law covenant. These are the lines of thought already suggested to us. Also, Brother Russell suggests on reprint 2864 through 2866 that Laban represents worldly society, the society in which both the spiritual and natural seed were drawn, the world, the camp. Let Zilpah represent nominal Israel, their customs and traditions under the law covenant. And let Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, represent nominal Christian creeds and formalism. If we do this, we notice some very interesting significance in this picture. Notice that Jacob waited 7 years before marriage to Leah, then fulfilled her 1 week with her in order to also receive Rachel, prior to his other 7 years for her hand. He received her, Rachel, but had a future obligation for her, whereas he served first the 7 years and received Leah at the end. Just so, Christ comes at the end of the Jewish dispensation only to find it had not produced the gracious bride he had waited for. However, like Jacob, Genesis 29:27, he was required to fulfill her week. This, we think, is suggestive of the 70th of the weeks of Daniel 9:24-27, to confirm the week with the people of the covenant. Only then could he bind the covenant with the Gentiles, who would bring forth the fruit, the seed thereof. This bond he entered into was not the marriage of the Lamb at the beginning of the Gospel age, but the betrothal, the hope, the prospect that we have of ever being with him. Romans 8:24-25 and Titus 3:7. For this grace dispensation, he, Jesus, was bound for at the beginning, yet he would serve the next symbolic 7 years of the gospel age for the fruitage. Another picture independent of the order of marriage is the order of children. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, we think, represent the fruitage of the law age up to the first advent. Genesis 29:35. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, "Now will I praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. She left bearing for 2 years. Judah was blessed by Jacob with the promise of Messiah through his tribe. Genesis 49:14. So with the advent of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jewish hopes became barren. Jesus said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Matthew 23:38. And also Ezekiel 37:11. Then he said unto me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts." So it was appropriate that Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah. Jesus was born under the law, the Leah covenant, to redeem his Jewish brethren. Galatians 4:4-5. Not till his death was the way of the grace covenant recognized, the Rachel picture. The name Judah means praise. Jacob said his brethren would praise him, Genesis 49:8-10. We return again to Genesis 30:1-3. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." Here we see Rachel is over-anxious for children and enlists a substitute for her childbearing, Bilhah. So, very early also, in the antitypical picture of the gospel dispensation, the church enlisted and substituted earthly hopes and creedal institutions to bear the impatiently waited for seed and usher in the nominal kingdom. There's a nice reference in the fourth volume, page 575-577, on this point. Genesis 30:6. Bilhah's first child was Dan, meaning judged. She said, "God hath judged me." Some have suggested the judgment was Rachel's own disgrace for her barrenness. Jacob said of Dan in Genesis 49:16-17, "Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward." In some pictures, Dan represents the second death. But here he also seems to well fit the substitute, deceiving clergy born of nominalism. In verse 8, Naphtali was next born to Bilhah. His name means wrestling. It comes from a root, to twist, to entwine. He seems to represent the nominal laity who becomes snared and entangled in the professions of a counterfeit church. Jeremiah 5:26-28. Jeremiah 5:26. "For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. therefore they are become great and waxed rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Leah seems now to be induced to the same compromise to perpetuate her seed, and so she takes Zilpah. So there was a nominal natural Israel, just as there was a nominal spiritual Israel, a substitute for the fruitage, for the seed. Though Israel was rejected for her nominal nature, nominalism continued in the diaspora concurrent with Christendom, nominal Israel. Genesis 30, verse 11. The firstborn to Zilpah was Gad, meaning a troop cometh. And then in the 12th verse, there was Asher, meaning happy or prosperous. Jacob said of these in Genesis 49:19, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. The Jew, still bound to the law, knew he was esteemed less, as was Leah. To prevail amid the social stigma, Judaism produced two nominal children. First, there was the literary, scholarly Jew who became steeped in tradition and Talmudism. Though oppressed in the ghetto, he found his identity in ritual and mystic Judaism. Secondly, there was the affluent, prosperous Jew whose commerce the Gentile depended upon. Genesis 30, verse 18. And he carried away all his cattle. Genesis 30, verse 18. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. And verse 20. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. So, in the summary picture, even before Rachel had borne her first seed, Leah regains some of her latent vitality and bears two more sons and a daughter. So it is that two classes within the Zionist movement became apparent even before the deliverance of the Grace Covenant seed in the Rachel class. First, in the regathering of Israel, there were the laborers of Zion, the prime movers, the idealists, the promoters in Zionism. And secondly, there were the settlers. Issachar means reward for hire. Zebulun means a dwelling. And so it was characteristic of these two classes. How fitting the names. Only then is born the only sister, Dinah. The state, separate from her Lord, is always pictured as a woman. Shall a nation be born at once? Isaiah 66:10. In Ezekiel 37, we read of bone coming to bone. And Matthew 24:32-33, the fig tree shows signs of life in putting forth leaves. So we think that Dinah could represent the new state of Israel that has been born, but she yet has a defiling experience that lies ahead. But as yet, the grace seed, Rachel, is not fully delivered. Genesis 30, 22-24 is the account that at length Joseph is born to Rachel, her firstborn, that represents the faithful overcomers. All these children come to birth in Mesopotamia, a land where Jacob was a pilgrim and a stranger. All the classes typified came forth in the present evil world. Genesis 30:25. Jacob now turns his face towards Canaan. He crosses the boundary from the old world to the new that we have suggested, indicated by the dashes between Joseph and Benjamin. The Rachel covenant could be ended here were it not for one more child. The account is found in Genesis 35, verse 1 and 19 and 20. That child was not born in Mesopotamia, but only after coming to Canaan. And so the great company will be delivered only after the boundary of the gospel age opportunities are passed. Jeremiah 8:20 and Matthew 25:10 and 11. Returning to the Genesis 30, now verse 18 account. Genesis 35:18. Yes, Genesis 35:18. Rachel named her child Benoni, meaning son of my pain. So these are tribulation saints. Isaiah 66:8 and Revelation 7:14. But Jacob redefined the name and called him Benjamin, son of my right hand. And so this class shall serve God before the throne, day and night. Genesis 35:19, Rachel dies with the birth. So never again will this representative covenant of grace and sacrifice be offered. In the Genesis 34 account, after entering Canaan, a Gentile defiles Dinah. This arouses her brothers to avenge her. And they slay not only him, the defiler, but the whole city. We simply would ask the question, in this scenario, could this illustrate the spoiling of Israel, the Dinah picture, Ezekiel 38, and the awakening of true Jewish identity in the defense of the promised land, and the transition to their seeing their Messiah? But it is interesting that the brothers were reprimanded for this act. So the people of Israel will be reprimanded for defense of the state only in their own strength. Only when humbled will they be able to rejoice in God's victory on their behalf and not in the arm of their own strength and in their own defense. Genesis 35:20 and 21. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. It is significant that God only called Jacob by his new name Israel after the death of Rachel. This is the first time in the scriptures, verse 21, where Jacob is called Israel. Only after the death of Rachel. The name Jacob means supplanter. So the Abrahamic covenant will no longer be regarded as an ingrafting for that olive tree and root arrangement after the end of the grace covenant. But then God's covenant arrangements will only be seen in the light of Israel. He shall rule with God. Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. Shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And in this arrangement, God will use Israel, the natural seed, to be the blesser and benefactor of the rest of humanity. It is noticeable that in later years, when Joseph is on the throne of Egypt, he becomes the benefactor of his brethren. He fed and delivered them from their desolation. Isaiah 58:10-12, and Isaiah 66:10-12, and Revelation 22:17, we think is a clear statement of the role of the church and her head in this particular role of the blesser from the spiritual seed vantage point. Well, brethren, this properly concludes what we considered a suggested allegory. It is only a suggestion. As we began the lesson, the statements of Scripture are clear as to what the covenants encompass. As we view some of these details of the Old Testament, they can only be confirming of the clearly stated positions, and we think that they are. Whether they are exactly intended as we have suggested, we are sure that all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So may the Lord bless your consideration of these things and the many beauties that confirm his plans and purposes.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, for the lessons on the Jacob's wives and the covenants, as it elicitates the whole plan of God. There will be a 25-minute intermission, after which time there will be a service in the Ukrainian language. At this time, Brother Jerry will close with prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We thank thee for the testimony and assurances of thy covenant promises, which will bring blessings to all mankind. We thank thee for our privilege to share in this seed promise at this time. Keep us humble, teachable, faithful to thy precepts and principles, and bless us in our consideration of thy word and the privileges of fellowship at this convention. We ask in Jesus' name.
Thank you.